This is the Community Radio Network, right across Australia.
It is the Community Radio Network. It's also the Men's Mental Health Show. Welcome to another show, everybody, here on 89.1. And looking forward to what we've got in store for you this morning. But just before we get into things, a quick thanks to Dale Hunt and Mounties Group for being a long-term sponsor of the Men's Mental Health Show. Also, B2Body, B-double-E, number two, B2Body.com. For some wonderful Manuka honey. It's actually part of my family, that Manuka honey. And a big thanks to all manufacturing personnel, recruitment and labour hire in the manufacturing industry for all your staffing solutions. Give Craig Beachy a call, 0416 700 870. All right, so today we've got the boys back. Well, Sean's back from Walk It Off. He's one of the Springwood walkers. And we've also got Chris, who's headed up or leading up the front for the Warragamba Dam walkers, which kick off, I think, on about the 20th of March. So let's get straight into it. First of all, good morning, Sean. Welcome back. I think this is your third or fourth attempt.
Yeah.
Crack at it.
Three times a charm, right?
Yeah, that's what they say, man. And Chris, mate, yeah. Warragamba, welcome. Thanks for making the trip up here. Kudos, boys.
It's good to be here. Yeah.
Thanks for having us, mate.
Yeah, mate, always. So, hey, just before we get into it, I know we sort of spoke about it outside, but last time you came up, Brian, and we had a chat. I went down, would have been a month ago now, and you guys did the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell the listeners how many clicks you clocked up.
Yeah, 60 Ks.
60?
During our birthday walk, yeah.
Wow, that's massive, man. That's massive. So that's, I think each lap's about 7
or... Our laps were 3.6 to 3.7 kilometres, so it's just cutting laps round and round in circles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unreal, man.
But it was good. It was a really successful event that day for our second birthday. We had, I think, double or triple the amount of walkers that stayed all day. So it was really quite powerful to see people stepping it up for themselves.
Yeah. Man, it was massive.
Men and women. Yeah. It was great.
You had a huge crowd. Mm. Like, I think we went down there probably around 2:33. I did a lap and then I come back and hooked up with you guys, and it was just a constant flow of. But you would have had over 100 easily, close to 200 walkers, I'd have imagined, and some great coverage as well from the support of our federal, state, and local politicians up here in the mountains. It was
Susan jumped on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And
she's awesome, isn't she?
She's an amazing person. So we love having that kind of support.
And it's a reminder that this isn't just for blokes, Walk It Off. It's, you know, you've got the women that walk on a Wednesday and then
women walking on the Thursday,
I beg your pardon.
And men walk on Wednesdays, yeah.
I knew it was one or the other. So, Chris, welcome, mate, and tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, where did you grow up? What's going on in your life?
I grew up in Melbourne, of all places.
Oh, did you?
Eastern suburbs, out in a place called Lilydale. I've got to say that really carefully because I'm a local from there, so otherwise it sounds like Lilydale. So, but yeah, I grew up in Melbourne, and 2009 with my wife at the time, travelled around for a year in a tent with my two eldest kids, and found that Central Coast was a place to be and settled there. And that marriage broke down not long after, and then long and the short is I met my missus while working at a pub up in Hunter Valley, my current missus, so that was 11 years ago, and I've been happy since with her, so.
Yeah, awesome. I went through a divorce about 10 years ago. It was, none of them are good.
None of them are fun, no.
No, they're horrible. So. But how old are your kids now, man?
My eldest is 21 this year. My son is forever 15. Sadly, he lost his life to suicide, so that's part of my reason of getting involved with Walk It Off. So I could, really just find a way of being okay with not being okay.
Yeah.
And my youngest is 12 in about 2 weeks. So.
Right, and right. Then, yeah, mate, so. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know.
I just kind of sprung it on you with that one. So,
So how long has it been since your son passed away?
It's 2 years.
So it's still on the surface, man. It's going to be on the surface.
It's very much surface level, but... just reflected with my wife and how things are going with Walk It Off and just the movement behind it. She's like, this is your next stage of healing
to really break through this.
So, and it's become a real passion of mine. Like for as long as I can remember, mental health and mental health awareness has been a passion of mine.
Right.
I grew up in a not the happiest of households, so DV and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So I've dealt with drug and alcohol abuse, and I'm coming up to 12 years sober from narcotics. So.
Well done, man.
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a tough run. So, yeah.
But it's sculptured you into the bloke you are today, hasn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not the prettiest thing, but, you know, I'm doing all right.
So, you're going all right next to Sean and I can do that much.
But yeah, so walking off Rora Gamba is kicking off on March 20th, which is really just in honour of my son, whose birthday is the 18th of March. Wow. He'll be 18. So it's going to be a very hectic week for me, because I'll be speaking with Wollondilly Council on the 19th as well. Wow. About Walk It Off and its involvement in the community.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the week, I will be attending a forum for mental health stuff to get myself on par with what's going on with latest trends in mental health.
Yeah, so, good on you, man. That's awesome. I've got to do that. You know, I've been doing this for going on 5 years, but... Mm. You know, sometimes I really have to do a good check-in and, you know, like I guess my self-awareness is something that I've worked a lot on.
Yeah,
But, yeah, man, it's kudos to you for doing that. It's amazing where our paths take us from something that's, you know, so incredibly traumatic, confronting, kudos. It's a wonderful thing that you're now, doing what you're doing to give still instead of sort of, you know...
Well, it kind of went straight off the bat without blowing my trumpet too much, but, you know, Josh had a secret amount of friends that I didn't know about. So they all turned... Josh is my son, sorry, I didn't mention his name before. So he was a real champion in school. I found out that he would actually reach out to people that are being bullied and get alongside them and support them and get them a chocolate milk or something and chill with them for lunch. And he did this all on the sly, you know.
He didn't know any of this.
He was very humble about it, yeah. So it was a secret life of his. So I had probably 80 to 100 kids turning up in the week that he passed. So massive, massive tribute at the front of the house. I had to set up a marquee and esky and stuff, which I didn't mind. I thought this is what I have to do for these kids. They need to know it's okay to grieve. It's a tough month, but getting through it, so getting a bit cut up now, but thinking about it, but
being a father myself, I can't imagine that pain for you and your ex-wife, and I just give you kudos for the way you're now channeling, you know, that grief and what you're doing, and to be able to speak about it is, well, it's enormous, you know. It's I was watching a show the other day, I think it was on SBS, and actually I think it was about psychedelics, right? And, you know, this young Australian girl, Asian Australian girl, she had suffered deeply from depression, anxiety, made a number of attempts on her life. And she had what they refer to as an adverse reaction, right? So she, you go in there and you do a I don't know what it is, like a session for 6 hours or whatever. Yeah. And after the first or second dose or of time of doing it, she was really quite upset. She said, look, I've now become angry. I've now become, moody. Mood swings are all over the place. And I was watching it sort of going, well, you know, she'd been raped, this poor girl, at a young age. Mm. And she'd never talked about it, right? But the amazing feat in this was that she was now angry for the first time that she'd never been, because she'd never talked about it. She just suppressed it down, and then she turned everything internally, and she did everything that us blokes do pretty much, you know. But, you know, and I was saying to another mate of mine, I mean, I think that was a pretty good outcome, because now that it's on the surface, and like so many things with a lot of blokes, when we bring it to the surface, we're then able to deal with the situation. Yeah. Now, anger's an emotion that we're sensational at. You know, Bodhi used to say mad, bad, sad. Imagine going through life living with that emotion, just mad, bad or sad. And that's how a lot of men dealt with, things. But now that it was on the surface, she was able to, I guess, address it.
Yeah, so, focus on it and work with it.
So, you know, obviously doing the same thing yourself, man. It's up through the surface and it's dealt with, and it's, I can't imagine, as I said, the pain that comes with it.
Yeah.
However, the benefit in the outcome.
People talk about exactly what you said. I can't imagine what that's like. And it's it's strange, but it's just become normal for me that, you know, that this is my everyday. I wake up, he's not there, you know. So, and I'm not looking for the sympathy or anything else like that, but, you know, that's just my reality now. So my wife, Jo, she had real concerns afterwards, knowing my history with drug and alcohol, that's the path I'd take.
That you could have easily gone back to.
Yeah, so, but considering that I'm now collecting whiskies and collecting wines, and rather than storing them in my liver, you know, that's a real tribute to where I've come with my healing with that, you know, part of my chapter of my life as well. So, but I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm doing today if it hasn't been for the people that have rallied around me. And so from a young age, that's what I've been looking for. Just going, what's wrong with me here? How can I fix it? Who can help me out through this? So, like I mentioned before, I grew up with domestic violence and very different levels of domestic violence, not just the physical stuff. So, you know, I read something the other day that there's the domestic slavery, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that someone will go out and get someone to work while I'll sit at home to get their kicks, you know, whether it be that roof over their head or you know, a bit of gear or whatever. But I look at that, and that was part of my dad's trauma for him, because, you know, mum was abusive. So, and so that's a truth I had to come around to.
And that probably extended back to her childhood as well.
And, yeah, so I've done some really deep kind of reflection on it the last couple of months, and just seeing how it's throughout the generation sort of thing. So it's crazy how it is, but that was my drive when growing up, is I've got to break this.
Yeah,
I'm tired of it. You know, this is not right.
No.
So, and getting people on board to sort of support me in that and walk it off is the next step for me. To get those people around and,
I mean, you know, the ripple effect of when someone takes their lives is enormous, you know, and, you know, we don't realise how far those ripples spread, you know, through the community of his school, through his sports, through family, teachers, everybody, it impacts. But, you know, it's just, it's a wonderful thing that you're able to, you know, to talk about this, because, you know, we're 7.8 blokes a day, thereabouts, we're losing. And these numbers aren't decreasing.
No, they're not.
And I question, you know, like, there's often a question I ask myself, or when John Millams comes on, how do we go about this? Like, and this is not taking into account the road toll, which I've mentioned a lot of the time. Yeah, it could be up to one third of the road toll they suspect as being suicide. So do we need to do what we're doing and just keep adding to it, like a reaction? Or do we need to just start this whole mental health outlook again? But look, you know, coming back to, I guess, what you guys are doing is you've got to just plant seeds in your own backyard first, you know what that's I mean? It. And that's something that I like doing here in community radio. Yeah. And the wonderful thing about Walk It Off is, you know, it's so much easier for us as blokes to connect if we're doing it through a walk or if we're doing something physical together, as opposed to heading back to the pub and then just talking about, you know, the footy game and whatever
tucking
else.
Tucking it away for later on. And absolutely. Like, that's like Sean mentioned a couple of times in the other podcast, you know, that change starts with conversation, and that's the whole thing about Walk It Off is we talk, but it's the interesting dynamic of being side by side rather than face to face. And blokes are just comfier with that. It's a proven method of communicating. Last week I had a horrible week, and Brian, who was here a few weeks ago, had to deal with me just purging for 40 minutes because I was
he didn't mind.
Like, I sent him a text the next day. I said, "Listen, bro, thanks for that."
So he followed up. He's checking in.
I followed up with him and said, "But that's me. I'm very reflective of myself." And I've become very reflective because I know that that's what I need to do to keep myself above, to keep myself floating, you know. So
you need to make sure it's like a GPS check, right?
Yeah.
It's always pinging back into where you want to go. So, you know, if we're not reflecting back on where we are at how do we know if we're on track or off track? You just don't know.
No.
Yeah. And so, like, kudos to Chris. You know, it's not a common thing. Most of the time, I'm guilty of it a lot of the time, where you just sweep it under the rug, and you just get on with life because life goes on, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when those things start to poke their head out, that is a different story. Yeah. Mm. And it causes a lot of problems.
Oh, man, the power of the mind and the impact that it can have on your physical status, let alone your mental status, it's enormous. But having now this lived experience, it's a wonderful opportunity that he's grasped, Chris, to then be able to say, well, this is my lived experience. This is how I'm able to process it when other people that have gone through what he's gone through is able to do. And
similar challenges. It's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's just wonderful, man. Yeah, it's enormous. Good on you. So the Warragamba tour, are we doing men and women down there as well, or is it just starting off as blokes?
It's a focus as a blokes group. There is a lot of chatter on Facebook, and I've had a lot of communications with people about setting up a women's group.
Good.
But it's just finding the right person, right fit. We'll walk it off is willing to help those people move forward with it if they want to go with that. Yeah. Dan at the Warradan Bakery Cafe, he's very much behind us. He really wants to support the community as well. And right.
What's that business called again?
Warragamba Dam Bakery Cafe. It's in 14th Street in Warragamba.
Okay.
So he's new to the area. Dan. He came out from Perth, I think it was, and he set up a nice Vietnamese/Australian kind of meals. So it's got some great pork rolls and, Vietnamese noodle salads. And Yeah. And big brekkies, if you're in for the big brekkies, still got the Aussie big brekkie there. So,
get down there and see Dan, man. So he throws his support behind you guys.
Absolutely, 110%. Wow. So we had a chat with him in January to try and get it off the ground with one of the local councillors, Beb Spearpoint. And he's like, 100% I'm behind you. Like,
wow.
So, which is great because it's not just setting up a support group for men in the community. It's me saying thanks to that community because in Warragamba and Silverdale and this northern end of Wallandilly, the people that came out and supported myself and my wife Jo after Josh passed was phenomenal. Like, and the community is always rallying behind people. So it's me giving back to that community and going, thanks, guys, for being there for me.
That's awesome.
Like, for an example, the local swimming pool where Josh used to play with his friends, they came and brought us a food hamper to say, listen, sorry for your loss. And it's like, you're a bunch of lifesavers, but you're giving us some food. Like, even Beb's daughter cooked up some meals for us. So,
wow.
You know, there's some great people in the community, and I just want to say thanks to those guys for being there.
Good on you guys. That's everything. And, not easy for a small business owner, I'd imagine,
it's not easy,
But to realise that, he's probably getting more out of it, even though he's giving.
Well, that's what we said to him. We'll do what we can to get your name out there and just keep plugging you wherever we're at really build a business for you and customers and that. It'd be good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Let's talk about some of the techniques. I know we sort of speak about this a bit, Sian.
Yeah.
So I remember sitting down there with you a month ago, and there was another fellow I think had just got – sensed that he was going through a bit of a rough patch. And you saw, doing this as long as you have, you can sort of see where blokes, what levels, I guess, they're at. There's like that level where, it doesn't matter if I give this guy advice or if I listen to this guy, he's going to have to work this out himself because you can just sense that's the way he's made up, right?
Yeah, it's quite literally. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make a drink.
Exactly. And then you've got another bloke who's just asking questions, or he's asking a lot of questions of himself.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's being able to identify.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the difference between those two. It's one seeking and one not quite aware yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's purely it. Mm-hmm. And once they start to ask those questions, then it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We can start to. But you can do a lot of stuff when you're curious to be able to go and go, all right, this isn't kind of working out. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's not. But I'm responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then we can do heaps. Yeah. And it, the change is swift.
Yeah.
Because you've got so much support around you, the momentum that you gather is quick. Yeah. And it's just one foot in front of the other, and you can go a long, long way doing it with that process.
Yeah, I call it the great surrender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so when I went through my separation, I made a pretty serious attempt on my life, and I think I spent about 32 weeks in hospital in 2014, right?
Yeah.
And that's not just in, you know, ICU or, you know, recovery or whatever it is. That was in psychiatric wards.
Yeah.
I had to go check myself in because I was a danger upon myself. So I had to learn these skills. But, man, I reckon it excuse me, I reckon it took me probably three or four before attempts at hospital of 2 and 3 weeks stays before I realised, right, I've just got to surrender here.
Yeah.
I've got to give in to what they're trying to do. You know, and realise these people are here to help me. You know, the doctors, the nurses, even the other people I was in the hospital with. And, you know, I've got a mate of mine that's going through a similar thing at the moment. And he's level one, I call it. Something's going to happen for him where that light bulb's going to go off and he's just going to all of a sudden go, wow, this is me now. I'm raw. Yeah. I've stripped back all my layers. I have to deal with this. But it's the awareness of sort of seeing that. As you say, we're able to do that, but that takes time. It can take some blokes years.
And it may not even happen for a lot of guys. It depends on what their upbringing's like and what lessons they've learnt along their life.
You know, the supports they've got in their own community.
Exactly. It is an extraordinarily difficult process.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people don't want to go through it. Mm.
And a lot of people don't want to address it with someone if it's not them, but the person that's going through it. You know what I mean? It's like it's like an avoidance thing. It's like, oh man, he's going to have to work. So, well, you know what I mean? I remember when, you know, I was sitting on the edge, you know, before I was about to do what I did to myself, and I thought, who can I call?
Yeah.
Who can I call? Now, yeah. I mean, now if that was to happen, I've got an abundance of people, thankfully, because I've put those. Yeah. Systems in place or those strategies in place, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, Walk It Off is doing exactly that. You're getting blokes that are like-minded or have, you know, common interests, connecting through mental health. And to be able to sort of go, well, you know, like, yeah, I've been a burden to my old man, to my mates. Maybe I'll call this guy from Walk It Off. He doesn't know me that well, but, you know, I feel I connected with him a couple of times. Yeah. I could talk to this guy.
And sometimes that distance in the connection is super helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't have the stigma of family and you know, all the responsibilities like of that closeness when you have close relationships. Like you said, you don't want to be a burden to your mates and all this kind of stuff. These guys are my friends, but it's not, you know, it's not that heavy for, we don't have that depth of contact. Mm. That relationship does develop, and I mean, Chris and I have been, we never knew each other this time last year.
No, didn't know each other's story and everything else like that. I mean, I think it was last week I just reached out to Sean and went, you know, life's kicking me in the nuts today. Like, you know, I just needed someone to just vent to.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on my chair in the kitchen just kind of crying a bit and just saying, listen, I'm just not coping at the moment because March is a horrible month for me, but it's exciting at the same time because I'm seeing this development of a passion of mine coming so quickly, so swiftly, and that, I think that's the trickier part is because I'm balancing these other emotions I'm dealing with, but then recognizing that this goal of mine, my personal goal, is coming into fruition, and it's really kind of scary.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, like, and talking before, like, when if you're in that place, if you had someone to reach out to, who would it have been?
Mm.
Reminded me when I was 14, I'll give a trigger warning because I'm going to talk about suicide. Mm. I had suicide ideation, and I remember sitting in my bedroom, and I was a cutter. You know, I've got scars, I have my tans taken away, that, but so I was a cutter and a burner and that sort of thing from my own trauma and that sort of thing. So, but I remember sitting there, and I had knife in hand, and I've never been this emotional about it, but I looked at my cat and he was just looking at me. I'm like, who's going to take care of my cat?
Who's going to take care of the cat?
He was my best mate. He was my only friend, you know. Yeah. So, and that's what I felt at the time. Wow. That was my only friend, and that's the isolation I was in, and that was the like, I never felt wanted. You know, I never felt love.
Yeah.
And so...
Just,
looking at my cat, I'm like, someone's got to take care of him, you know. So that's what really stopped me.
Yeah.
And that's what pushed me into to finding answers, you know. And so a lot of the time what drives me is myself. I push, no, this isn't right. What do I have to do to fix this?
Yeah.
So from about 14, 15, that's where I thought the next question was booze, because that's the solution. So, you know, I'd easily have a bottle of scotch, half a case and two bottles of wine, and, you know, every fortnight sort of thing. And
just to be able to feel something, just because you're numb before that process.
No, no, just to get rid of the feelings.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Just to suppress them.
Just suppress them and just go, I don't want to feel like rubbish anymore. Yeah. I'm tired of it. Yeah. I don't want to feel isolated anymore. You know, and fake it till you make it sort of thing, you know, and do ridiculous things and put my life at risk with all that. So, but yeah, it's that thing of, and I put out to people listening, like, my cat's name was Marmalade, and I said this to Brian last week. I said, we've got to find a Marmalade.
Yeah.
Who's your Marmalade in your life that's going to go, I've got your back. Yeah. You know, I'm here for you, buddy. Yeah. Like, and that's what Walk It Off is for me. It's my Marmalade. You know, not that I've got any suicidal ideation. I want to put that out there right now. Yeah. You know, death is not on the cards for me. I was journaling about it the other day. Like, Henry Rollins, one of my favourite musicians, he talks about how, when he dies, he wants life to be gasping in the corner and going, can you kick him? Maybe he's joking. Yeah. You know, maybe he's, you know.
Yeah, right.
I want to give life as much as I can, you know, and give it as much as it's going to give back. So
Yeah, it's the ultimate form of neurology, or, you know, like I guess through, you know, psychology and Buddhism. What you said at the very beginning there was, March is a really tough month for me, but it's also something that I find really exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a huge skill, man. That's a life asset, I call that. Yeah. To be able to take something so confronting and traumatic and be able to make it positive.
Yeah.
And that's the first step to be making a lot of changes. I mean, if you look at, you know, the frontier of psychology, it's all about that. It's rewiring those thoughts into something incredibly positive. It's you know, we used to speak about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know? That's it, but I love that where's my Marmalade, you know? Who's my Marmalade?
That's it. Like, that's what I ask people, like, who's your Marmalade? That's going to be my question now. Like,
do you find you're able to be more direct? Like, say, because you can sense that, right, when you see someone. I mean, look, you know, I went and saw a mate last week. I won't mention his name. And he lost his wife and mother pretty close together. Mm. Right. And so I'd gone around there to sort of check in with him and everything else. And I ended up being the one that was, you know, vomiting all my toxicity onto him, because I didn't realise how bad I was going. Mm. So I kind of felt really selfish, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I got out of there and I get pretty passionate, you know. Like, I've raised my voice, but it sounds like I am, I guess. So I get frustrated or...
Mm.
Yeah, and at the end of it, you know, I got in my car and left, and then I was halfway going down the hill going, shit, man, what? That was really selfish of me. You know, I've gone around there to
support
this plan. It's ended up going the other way. Mm. So I just rang him up to say thanks, and he was like, mate, you've been here for me for a number of times. You know, yeah, but, yeah, it's awesome that you can...
I guess in I don't know, he's your mate and everything else, but in that vulnerability of you know, bearing yourself, that you're having it, bit of a tough go, your mate can see that, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. Like, he was perfect with it.
Look at Brad, like, you know, whatever's going on there, whatever's going on with me, that's okay too. So, and I think that's a key thing as well. Like I said, I've been listening to your podcast, and I think it was the one about the warrior.
Warrior training with John.
Warrior training. Yeah, that was a good one. Like,
it's great content.
And talking about vulnerability, you know, if we as blokes can just let down that guard and just be vulnerable, be okay with recognising that you're an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Like, instead of going, oh, you know.
Yeah, I've got all this, you know. Right, John, you know. He was a prop forward, John.
Crack another one, sink it down, you know, and just going, well, hang on, you know, let's sit back, let's look at things and see what's really going on.
Yeah, I love John and his outlook on things. I love the way he often challenges people or challenges conversations. He's a very curious man when it comes to, and he calls a spade a spade.
Yeah.
But that warrior training one was one of the better ones. Yeah,
it was a pretty good show.
There's some other ones. There's another bloke that comes on, Christian, the paramedic. I don't know if you've heard him. But yeah, you know, he's having a tough run. I check in with Chris once a week pretty much to see how he's sort of going. But, you know, he's, wow, man, he, you know, we had an incident up here where, you know, mum ran a car straight into, head on into a truck, and the car caught fire. And the mum was trying to knock herself off and her daughter. Mm. She wasn't allowing him to get to the daughter who was burning in the car. You know, it was horrible. It was just awful. And every time he closed his eyes, he just kept seeing this. But the wonderful thing about Muzzy, Christian, is, you know, he's able... I mean, he feels pain. He's an incredibly sensitive bloke, right? Mm. Lost his father, you know, went to the call-out for Bodie when Bodie passed away on the 5th of January. But he's able to articulate like you are today and talk about it and bring it to the surface. Because it you know, like you talk about your mum, right? Mm. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if something traumatic happened to your mum through her childhood or,
you know. There's history there, and that's her story, so I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, but. And then you're not able to bring it up, and that just follows on, you know what I mean? It's like war. Mm. It's like when men, women come back from war. You know.
But with that as well, I've actually had to recognise that I need to put those boundaries in place. I can't communicate with those people because it's that family of origin stuff. And if people don't know about that stuff, it's... I know that when I go to Melbourne and my wife, Jo, she talks about it, how I can change in character because I go back to that person I was in Melbourne, that family of origin, you know. That I go back
because of
to
the, triggers.
Those triggers. I go back to that role of, you know...
Feel your pain.
...person and... And so I don't want to be that person anymore. So I put in those boundaries, you know. Occasionally I've opened the doors and said, listen, we can have a chat now, but it doesn't work out. So I shut the doors again.
Yeah.
But that's what you've got to do for your own sanity, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to draw the line, I bet.
Yeah. And preservation, you know. Yeah. You've got to know that stuff about yourself. If you don't, it's just going to keep on going.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We might just take a quick break, boys. It's a men's mental health show here on 89.1 RBM FM. Cracking day up here in the Blue Mountains. It's got to be around 20, 21 degrees. We hope you're all doing well. If you want to text in at any stage, I might have some texts here. You can text me. I've got someone's texting in. I'll get to that in a moment. You can text me on 0404 077 666 0404 077 666. It's the Men's Mental Health Show. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to the Men's Mental Health Show. Just having a bit of a chat off during the messages then. And we're here with Chris and Sean from Walk It Off. It's been a wonderful conversation so far this morning. Look, someone's written in, it's a wonderful idea. If you're struggling with thoughts or self-harm, to please reach out to someone, whether that be a friend or a GP. Yeah. That's actually on that point. That's crucial because...
Absolutely.
As you'd know, Sean, doing this and Chris... To have that mental health plan or network of friends is so important. It's something that I guess is the first thing that I look at setting up for someone. If I get a phone call that someone says, you know, my brother's really struggling, always make a recommendation for a doctor that's across mental health. I mean, you know, we're all different. Some doctors are a lot better at conversations around mental health.
Absolutely.
And then someone within the family, and then also someone that's perhaps not a close friend, but somebody that's... you know, across, like us three blokes, across this type of stuff. And that's really...
What's interesting, mate, is generally that should be probably, you know, go see a doctor should be... You'd ideally think that that would be one of your very first points of call. As men, it isn't.
Mm. No.
But you
it's avoidance.
Ask, yes, absolutely. And so that's a big part of the challenge that we've got for Walk It Off, okay? Yeah. Getting guys to be able to seek help and admit that there's something challenging, something wrong, something's not working, is extraordinarily difficult. Because as guys, we just do the best we can to put one foot in front of the other, even if we're heading in the wrong direction, right? Mm. So we just want to keep moving, but we're not entirely sure on which way we're actually going. And so... Looking at that, definitely seek doctor's help. But sometimes the guys just need the nudge, and a lot of guys don't want to go and see a doctor because that impacts their own.
Well, they're always, it's the ultimate thing. You know, Bodie and I used to talk about it, you know, like how much is it going to cost and how much is it going to stuff me up?
And that,
it's a, isn't it, you know, amazing that that's generally the first two things blokes ask when they go and see a professional.
And the interesting thing on that is they wouldn't hesitate if it was for their partner or for their kids.
Of course not.
Like, boom, they'll pay for it. Yeah, we'll get it
done. Or a mate, you know.
Happy days. I mean, we talked about anger before and vulnerability. Like, I started seeking help for my own mental health when I was 16. It wasn't until I was 30 that I was actually going to a place where I was vulnerable enough to accept who I was as a person. And saying to my therapist at the time, which had an odd response of curling back in the corner, and I've recognised that I'm an angry person. Like, I've got a lot of pain here, and that makes me angry. And to be honest, I actually said to him, I'm okay with violence. You know, and I had to admit that within myself to take the next step in healing. As horrible as that sounds, like, I don't condone violence at all.
No, no.
I do not condone violence. Like, but at that time, I need to admit to myself and have that vulnerability. And that's the next step is also, as blokes, is recognising it's not a band-aid. It's not a quick fix.
No.
It's going to take a long time.
Well, it's 14 years to get that understanding.
Get that understanding,
24 years. You know,
it's crazy how long it can take. But if you're really, really, if you're willing to walk that out, then go for it, you know. And I think the greatest thing and part of Walk It Off is that I love this quote, and I don't think I've shared with you, Sean. Maybe I have. But it's like, don't walk ahead of me because I may not follow.
Don't walk behind me because I may not lead.
Just walk beside me and be my mate. That's all we're after is someone to be our mate and just help us carry through, you know. So if that's all it takes, and if it takes 6 years to get to a point, go, okay, I need to go see someone about this. I need to address this. I need to look at my anger, my substance abuse, my gambling, my drinking, whatever it may be. If it takes that time, it's still moving forward towards a whole person, you know, healing those hurts. You know?
So true.
Don't just to go, oh, I'm going to go join Walk It Off and I'll be fixed by next week. no, it's not. That's not the go.
Yeah, like, no, it doesn't work that way. It'd be good if it did, wouldn't it?
So, because, like, you know, do I still think about substances? Yes, I do. Like, I'd love to just get on a bit of goey and just forget about things. But I know that's not the right thing for me. You know?
What goes up comes down as well. Makes it twice as bad.
So, it's been 12 years of just staying away from that stuff. It's gotten easier. But it wasn't in the beginning.
That's massive, man. You know, I have my struggles with it as well. Still do. It's for many people and for many men and women, it's an escape. It's to take the edge off all. You know, we've heard all the sayings that are the reasons behind it. But, hearing you say, I'm okay with violence. It was astonishing for me because I became violent, you know. Like, you know, when I was going through my separation, I threw all my wife's belongings in the pool. It was an act of violence. It was unacceptable behaviour.
It may not be a physical threat or a strike on someone, but violence has got many shades.
And I'd never been in... I mean, I've been beaten up a few times, but I've never been in a fight prior to that, you know.
Part of my recognition was I worked in security for 16 years. And in the peak of my substance abuse, I used to find the people that were dealing in the clubs and threaten them, basically. I'll take your gear and I'll have it for myself and you can jog on if you like. And that was... That's how I, you know... Got my fix, basically, and recognising that that was not okay.
Not at all.
But recognising that the part of my trouble was that I was too much okay with violence, that I need to say, this needs to stop.
It's such a horrible, unsustainable emotion for blokes. You know, to just use that as their coping mechanism. And it's horrible. And to think, like if I see myself 10 years ago, a lot of the time, you know, I often say what I say 2 inches from a mirror is couldn't repeat it to anyone. But, you know, like I often have that flashback to that moment and say, you know, look how far you've come in. Like, you know, you can't be that person. You've got to reflect on those actions. Mm. You've got to, you know, grow from that. Yeah. You know, I remember my U9 teacher, Mrs. Harmon, saying, oh, yeah, he's a late bloomer. Mm. And I still was, even into my 40s, you know. Like, I'm 49 now. And, you know, I was still making the same mistakes over and over until I was able to realise, hang on, man, you know, this is what we need to do. We need to put this in place. We need to be able to have these behavioural patterns that are for the positive.
Setting up those boundaries.
So, which
means avoiding people, cutting off communities that you've been a part of.
Yeah.
And if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes.
Yeah.
At extreme level. So, yeah.
Yeah, surrounding yourself with good people is a good thing, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always done. It's wonderful. I get a lot of, John will be laughing at this when he listens back there, I get a lot of praise or recognition for doing what I do. And I'm no different from most blokes. I'm shit house at taking recognition.
But same.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Yeah. I'd rather you call call me a dickhead or something. You know?
Abuse me. It's more comfortable. Yeah. How much truth is that?
But I think it's awesome what you're doing. And I'll deflect that. It's horrible because, you know, I'm coming to the realization that doing that, so it's actually almost insulting back to the person that's given you the praise, you know. But I'll just deflect that back a lot of the time and say, man, it's the people I have. Like, they're just smarter than me.
Yeah. That's the biggest challenge I've had, strangely enough, is people saying, it's amazing what you're doing with your grief.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing so well.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I? Like, knowing truly how I'm feeling.
Yeah, you're kind of like, mate, if only you knew.
If only you knew, yeah. But it's such a strange thing for blokes, I think, just to accept that compliment and, yeah, just go be okay with it.
Yeah, it's massive, man.
So,
this is a really good conversation, man. I'm so glad you came up. Hey, no offense, Brian. Brian wrote in incidentally saying, mate, you've made him tear up. But I wasn't expecting this, and this is enormous. This is because this is everything that, you know, I like to do with my show is to take things head on, to be confronting, to go to that darkness and to come through the other side with a little bit of light, which is what we've been doing here today, because it is a dark place, mental health. It is uncomfortable. It is confronting. And, it's awesome.
And that's why I've made it my goal is to do as much as I can to break the stigma around mental health and suicide. There's too much shadow around it. It needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
You know, people want to put up those boundaries around it, but let's be honest about it. It's a real thing. You know, one person passes by suicide, that's 180 people affected by it. The stats.
Yeah.
That's a massive effect.
That is.
Yeah. You talked about ripples before. That's the massive effect.
And we've got 7.8 a day.
7.8 a day.
So you think about how many people a day. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Right.
We don't lose that. Our largest demographic is
our blokes, you know, 15 to 44-year-olds. Massive, you know. But it's our 15 to 24-year-olds that are highest at risk, especially in our Indigenous communities.
Yeah.
So we've really got to reach out and look after people and be smart with what we're saying and how we're delivering things, but be honest at the same time. And it's a hard balance.
Yeah. You know, I talk about, like, one of the things I always say when I sign off, let's show a little bit more kindness and not be quick to judge. It's so imperative, isn't it, to just, you know, approach the subject gently. And I fail at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got some mates and I go, mate, you're not going to, until you start taking responsibility for your own actions, your life's not going to change.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all about
anyway,
ownership.
And then you know, that person hasn't spoken to me for a month. They won't answer my calls.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's unfortunately, that's the truth of the matter.
It is.
And the truth hurts, right? It really does.
Yeah.
But it's not until you can come to an acceptance of that. Yeah. Like, it's not a blame thing. It's not a shame thing. It's not any of that kind of stuff. It's, bro, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's change direction and put one foot in front of the other and things will get better.
Well said, Sean.
Sorry.
It's all in that delivery. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, like, I get pictures and words in my head, but, you know, they go with that analogy. You know, the truth is like a Lego block in the night, you know. You walk on it, you go,
geez, that hurt. Dad.
That's going to sting in the morning. And that's the truth, man. Like, the accident I had the other day, I put a sledgehammer in my shin and I'm like, oh, there's the truth right there. Like, that's a bit of a ting there. So, but that's truth. You've got to understand that if you're willing to walk this and look at your truth and find your truth, it's not going to be an easy journey.
The thing is, with this space, vulnerability is the path to connection.
Yeah.
Mm. That's the only way you get there.
Mm.
Right, and so you can't do one without the other. You need to be able to open up and just accept what is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's ultimately the shame that's doing it, isn't it?
It's massive thing for blokes is the shame.
Yeah, I don't know about you blokes, but one of the first things my old man used to say was, remember you're a spillane, you know, like wherever you're going. So that gave me at a young age an overwhelming sense of pride, right, to take him to myself. Mm. And I don't even know what that means nowadays when he says that, you know.
That reminds me, like, being the eldest son in the family, I felt this responsibility to carry on the family name.
Same.
So it was my role in life is to succeed, breed and continue the family name, basically. Yeah. And I put so much pressure on myself and being in an unhealthy space within myself, I sought the first exit, which was with my first wife. Mm-hmm. I got three beautiful kids out of it. Yeah. But at the same time, I was not in the space. I was married at 19 and I was massively dependent on alcohol and massive emotional issues. That's no place for someone to be married and committed to someone, you know. So as hard as it was, breaking up that relationship was probably the better thing to find myself, to realize my truth,
hasn't it?
And it's
so true. I remember when I told my old man I was going to get married, he pretty much said straight out, "You're too young to get married." Yeah. It kind of wasn't the response I was looking for, mind you.
No, I don't think
he wasn't wrong.
Yeah,
it was just the delivery in which he said it, which you know really hurt.
I mean, I got the same sort of message. He's too young. I'm like, what are you talking about? Psst, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I got the same. I was 19 and I was dad. Mm. So it was just like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's
horrible, isn't it? Mm. Well, we better look at starting to wrap up things. We're getting nearer to 12. Let's talk about how we can get in touch with the Warragamba mob. What's the phone number that you guys are going? Are we just working off the socials or the website?
Working off the socials.
Okay.
So on Facebook, you got the Walk It Off page on Facebook. There's also more information at walkitoff.org.au.
Walkitoff.org.au.
That's it. Yep. So, Walk It Off, all one word. .org.au. And as much as we can, we're getting posts out there, whether they'd be videos or photos. I've done a couple last week when we did our walk to say this is what we're about in Springwood, but I'm bringing it to Warragamba.
Yeah.
I've got my own personal socials that I'm putting things up for, so with and discussing Walk It Off. So, awesome.
So, and you know, Walk It Off, it's a growing organisation. Sean, you tell me you've now got charity coverage. And
we've got charity status
registered
now.
Charity status.
Yes.
So even if you're not from the south or Camden, Warragamba way, still get in touch with you guys, walkitoff.org.au.
Mm.
You know, and it could be a wonderful opportunity for listeners to perhaps look at setting up one in their own area if there's something that hasn't.
Absolutely. If you would like to set up your own in your own community, reach out. We have the systems in place to be able to facilitate and get it off the ground.
Mm.
We are willing to help you. There's guys out there that need it. Full stop.
This is
awesome, man.
But we just invite you to come along and see what we're about. See what we're about and then go, this is what I'm bringing to my community. So.
And definitely if you're in the area of Warragamba, Silverdale or in the Wallandilly Shire on the 20th, you need to be up Warragamba.
Yeah.
So the 20th I've put up on my socials today. Yes, it's the opening night. Yes, it's primarily a men's mental health group, But we're open to anyone just to launch it and get the word out and let people know what we're about. So
yeah, it's awesome, man. Yeah. What about, will you be keen to come back on, have a chat with me, say, second week of June or something?
Yeah, happy days. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. You know, if Brian wants to come and join us as well, we can get three as a maximum in here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can bring up some more stuff, some more stories, some about the growth and the development of where we are at each individually, but more importantly, where you guys are at as a group.
Absolutely.
You know, sounds good.
And the space that you're creating, I think it's a wonderful thing. So, once again, it's walkitoff.org.au. You can check them out on Facebook as well and Instagram.
Yep.
But get amongst it. Massive thanks, of course, to the people that show their support behind the Men's Mental Health Show. That's, of course, RBM here, 89.1. They do a wonderful job for us. All manufacturing personnel, recruitment and labour hire in the manufacturing industry. Give Craig a call, 0416 700 870. Also do to Mounties Group and B to Body. Kiora. Not Kiora, it's Kiora, honey. It's some good stuff. Chris, thanks, man. So bloody good to see you. He just incidentally clocked up 60 clicks, like, you know, I thought I was mad. You've got your certification on your jacket, Chris.
I do, yeah.
I think he's got one now. But thanks, boys. And, mate, really, and kudos, brother. Wonderful to hear you come in and put yourself in that discomfort and, you know, talk about that. I really appreciate it. I'm sure it's impacted many of the listeners.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're a wonderful man, mate. I give you much kudos, brother.
Cheers.
All right, boys and girls, it's time to go. We'll be back next week. I think we've got I've got Wes coming in, Wes Bending. Wes did the very first show with me back in 2018, 19 or whenever it was. Of course, Wes has had, he's just gone through a separation. Terrific bloke. He lost a brother to suicide. His name was Brad as well. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's been close to 5 years since I've seen him or had him on the show, and it's going to be a cracker. Don't forget, let's not be so quick to judge. Show a little bit of kindness. And if you think there's something important within the show, share it to your family or friends. And also, too, guys, you know, if you've got someone or something that you think you can bring to the table for the Men's Mental Health Show, send me an email, brad_spillane, S-P-I-L-L-A-N-E, @yahoo.com.au. Thanks again, boys.
Thank you,
Brad. We'll see you next week, guys. All the best.